We welcome you to the Let the Bible Speak program brought to you by the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. I'm glad that you've joined us this morning for another Bible study. I always appreciate those who support this program in listening and learning from God's Word. This morning, I want to talk about the preaching trials of Noah. But before we do that, I wanted to announce, in case you saw our sign in front of our church building, we were announcing our gospel meeting for this weekend, a special series of lessons dealing with the Bible lands. And I wanted to let you know that that has been postponed. Those services will not be held due to an illness in the speaker that was scheduled to come. He's not able to come and be with us, so we will postpone those at this time, and we will announce those at a future date. The preaching trials of Noah. In 2 Peter chapter 2, Peter talks about Noah. We're very familiar with this Old Testament story. Most people, even if they don't know much about the Bible, they know about the story of Noah's Ark. And we find that Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, talking about God, "God spared not the ancient world, but preserved Noah with seven others, a preacher of righteousness, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes." And then he goes on and gives some other examples. We find here that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. I want to talk about the preaching trials of Noah. And we may have some lessons in the future, more lessons on Noah. This is a very familiar Old Testament story, and there certainly would have been some building trials, building a very large boat, an ark. There would have been some challenges and difficulties in physically building an ark, but I want to talk about the preaching trials and the preaching challenges of Noah. He is a preacher of righteousness in addition to being a builder of an ark. Sometimes when the Word of God is preached, whether it's this program, personally in an assembly, one-on-one with an individual, there is a trial, there is a trouble and a test in getting the Word across and believed by the other person. Now, I'm not talking about the communication issue. We have all kinds of modern technology, and we are able to bring this program to you over the airwaves. We have all kinds of modern ways of presenting the Word of God, like PowerPoint and Facebook and other things like that. That's not the challenge I'm talking about. I'm talking about the challenge of getting to the person where the message gets in and they are changed and they're converted. And so we need to understand that there are going to be preaching trials today, just like there were in the days of Noah. So what can we learn from Noah? What can we learn from his faith? By faith, Noah built the ark. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, and we'll learn more about that later. What can we learn from Noah, the preacher of righteousness? He was a boat builder, but he was also a preacher. And I want to consider some challenges or trials this morning that Noah faced while preaching to a lost world, and we're going to find that we face those same challenges today. And we don't need to lose our enthusiasm for preaching the Word of God, even though we face these same old trials, namely rejection. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, the text says that God preserved Noah with seven others. There were simply eight people on the ark. That means that there's a whole lot of rejection going on. A whole lot of people did not want to change. And we find that in the world today. Jesus and others talked about few. It's a narrow road. to eternal life, few will be saved. In comparison to the world's population, just a small number. Will you be among that number, friends? Will you believe and obey today? So let's talk about some preaching trials of Noah. First of all, Noah preached to a people who were very wicked. If you turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter 6, you find that the world of Noah was very wicked at that time. The text says in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, "And Jehovah saw that the wickedness of man was very great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented Jehovah that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And Jehovah said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the ground, both man and beast and creeping things and birds of the heaven, for it repents me that I have made them." Now, in contrast to that, verse 9, Noah was a righteous man. And in verse 10, Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and the earth was corrupt, verse 11, before God. And the earth was filled with violence, and God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. So we have a picture of great wickedness, and the first preaching trial of Noah is that he preached to a people who are very wicked. You know, it's hard to preach to people who are religious and moral, let alone people who are wicked. It's definitely difficult to preach to those who are wicked, to reprove them of their wickedness. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Reproof is a part of preaching, 2 Timothy 4, 2 and Titus 2, 15. To reprove, to tell somebody that they're wrong. You tell somebody today that they're wrong, they will have a fit. They will, as people say, go off on you. They will yell at you and get all mad. You don't tell anybody that they're wrong today. And by that, I mean using the Word of God to point out their sinful behavior. I'm not talking about giving our personal opinion about their morality. So Noah had to preach to a very wicked people, and that certainly would have been a trial for him, but he did it anyway. He wasn't successful because people, a lot of times, don't want to get out of their wickedness. They're happy, and they are perfectly fine in their lifestyle, and we'll talk about that some more later when we get over to some statements that are found in the New Testament about the days of Noah. People are just fine with their lifestyle and busy with their current lifestyle, and they don't want to make any changes. A second preaching trial of Noah is that he preached while obeying God himself. He had to stay busy building an ark. And we find in chapter 6, in verse 13, God said unto Noah, "The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood." Noah didn't simply tell others that they were wrong. He lived righteously himself, and he is remembered many, many years later in Ezekiel chapter 14. Ezekiel remembers Noah, Daniel, and Job as being righteous. He's a righteous man, chapter 6, verse 9. He's an obedient man. He's building this ark. He had to obey God in building the ark to remain righteous. And so we are to take the Word of God and point out the sin and wickedness of others, but we also need to be right ourselves. We don't need to send a mixed message by living wicked ourselves while we're pointing out the wickedness of others. Paul was mindful of that in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 25. He writes, "And every man that strives in the games exercises self-control in all things. Now they do it to receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly I fight, but not as beating the air. I buffet my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means after that I have preached to others, I myself should be rejected." So we need to be living right lives while we are pointing out the wickedness with God's word in those around us, and that's a great trial. Number three, Noah preached and saved his own family. You know, it's easy to preach and teach and help others and tell them what they need to do, but are we applying that in our own family? Are we saving our own family? Noah did not neglect his own family while trying to save others. And that's a special challenge, especially today, even among someone like myself as a minister or a preacher of the Word of God. Sometimes people will stand up and preach to others and their own family is not right. Again, it sends a mixed message. Now, the preacher and his wife may not be completely to blame. We understand that children, when they grow up, they have a free will and they may go off on their own despite the good parenting of mom and dad. But a lot of times, it's just simply because they were not raised right themselves. And so we need to be careful about preaching to others and not preaching to our own family. We must save our own. And so we find that in chapter 7 and verse 6, Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth, and Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. So he gets on that boat. We find the same thing in verse 13. They all go into the boat with the animals and God shuts them in. We need to save our own families. And that's a trial today. We're to nurture or bring up, raise up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6 verse 4. We're to pass on our faith to our children, 2 Timothy 1, 5, and teach them from a babe the sacred writings, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15. It's important to preach to others, but we need to make sure that we're saving our own families as well. Number four, Noah preached to a people unconcerned for spiritual things or coming judgment. It's very difficult to get people today to just simply read their Bible, let alone study it. They're not interested in spiritual things. They're not interested in the second coming of Christ and being ready. They're not interested in a coming judgment day. And Jesus references these things in Luke 17, for example, verse 26 and 27, "As it came to pass in the days of Noah, even so it shall also come to pass in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all." So they're just carrying on with their life. You can read a similar statement in Matthew 24, 37 through 38. And you can just imagine the people saying to Noah while he's trying to preach to them and build the ark, "Noah, I'm busy eating and drinking and getting married. I'm busy living my life. You need to leave me alone." Noah preached to people who were engaged in daily affairs, and some of them were not necessarily bad things. It's not wrong to get married. But they had wrong priorities about those things. They needed to heed the sermon and get on the boat. And so they had the wrong priorities. They wanted to live their life and not be saved from the coming judgment. And there's a lot of people like that today. Friends, are you like that? you're fine if the preacher talks to you about the weather and sports and hobbies and yard work and the stock market, politics, things like that. But don't go to meddling with my personal life and my morality and the fact that I need to obey the gospel and be baptized and live faithfully each day. Don't go to meddling, preacher. That's out of bounds. You've gone to meddling. A lot of people are unconcerned about the most important thing that they have, and that's their soul. You can talk with them about everything else, and they'd be happy to talk with you all day long. But don't talk with me about my soul. And often, it is because their soul is not right with God, and they don't like talking about things where they need to change. Pride gets in the way. Misplaced priorities, laziness, apathy, worldliness, wickedness, whatever it is, all of those things stand in the way of making the necessary change. And so he preached to people unconcerned for what is important in the coming judgment day. We must get people to have better priorities. I think about Paul's statement, Colossians 3:1, set your minds on things that are above. We got to get people to change their priorities from just daily living to Jesus coming again in the judgment day. What's another preaching trial of Noah? Well, he preached a judgment to come that man had never seen. He's telling people about a coming flood, and that had never been on the earth before. And when you talk about things that people have not seen, well, they balk at that, and they laugh at that, and they chide that, and they poke fun at that, and they say, well, that's not scientific. It hasn't been proved scientifically, and I trust the science. We hear that a lot today. Hebrews 11, verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God concerning things not seen as yet. What? Concerning things not seen as yet. He had not seen it. Nobody else had seen it. And yet, he was moved with godly fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, through which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Concerning things not seen as yet. Noah? You mean there's going to be a flood? Who has ever seen a flood before? That's not scientific. Crazy old Noah, he's lost his mind. No one had seen the waters of Noah before. Isaiah 54, verse 9. Nobody had seen that before. Some suggest that prior to the flood, we know that there was a mist that came up from the ground, Genesis 2, 5 through 6. Something of a greenhouse canopy mist or watering of the earth in that way, but not a flood. And when the heavens opened up and the ground broke and the floods come, this is something they had never seen before. And we preach a similar judgment. Many mock the idea of heaven and hell. In fact, in 2 Peter 3, the next chapter over from where we began, the first 7 verses, Peter talks about mockers. They mock the last day. Heaven and hell, yeah, right. I'm not going to believe in that. We've never seen anything like that before. Well, that's what happened with Noah. And when the floods came, it was too late. They were lost. And so we preach about things in the scripture that people do not see with the physical eye, and so they don't want to accept it. Remission of sins, heaven, hell, things like that, answered prayer. So we have to keep preaching the truth of the Word of God. These things are revealed by God. Noah was warned of God concerning things not seen as yet. So it's God's word, and we're going to believe it, whether people mock it or not. We find that Noah preached in the midst of other kinds of trials. Here's another one. Noah preached an exclusive salvation. He preached in Genesis 6 and 7 that they had to get on the one boat, the one ark, not many boats, not many arks. You could just hear it again where Noah is preaching, I'm building this boat and you need to get on it. And everybody's saying, well, one boat is just as good as another, just like people today say that one church is as good as another. All boats are fine. Just like today, you'll hear all religions are fine. I've got a rowboat and a paddle boat and a canoe and a barge. They all lead to salvation. Have you heard that, friend? All roads lead to salvation. All roads lead to heaven. All churches, all religions lead to heaven. You ever heard that? It's very popular today. That just allows every person to have their own belief and idea and set up their own church. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, singular, Matthew 16, 18. We need to be in that body, that church. And it exists today in your community. New Testament Christians, just like in the New Testament. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else, nothing different. And when we preach the New Testament plan of salvation, the seven ones of Ephesians 4, 4 through 6, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and so forth, one hope. People don't like that. They say many churches. Jesus said few are going to be saved, Matthew 7, 13 and 14, Luke 13, 23 and 24. Peter said in 1 Peter 3, 20, few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. Few. And then he goes on to say that that water was typified of baptism, which doth also now save you. 1 Peter 3, 20. Will you be among the few that are baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins? Or will you just simply say, well, you know, all roads lead to heaven, and I don't even have to be a part of any church. I don't have to do anything. I'll just be the person I am, and God will just save me. I don't have to get on that ark, you see? He preached an exclusive, one-way only salvation. In America, we are so used to all of our choices that people don't like the idea of one. You can go through a drive-thru, go to a restaurant, go to a store. You got all kinds of choices in this country. And so people do the same thing with religion. They assume that it's just a smorgasbord, just whatever you want or nothing at all. That's not true, friend. And we've got to get back to preaching the exclusive salvation and believing in the exclusive salvation through Jesus Christ. He is the Savior of the body, Ephesians 5. And you have to be a part of that body. And that body, Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 4, is the church. He's the Savior of the body. He's the Savior of the church. You have to be in that body, period. And a lot of people don't like an exclusive message. It's not Islam. It's not Judaism. It's not Buddhism. It's not Hinduism. It's not any other ism. It's the New Testament Church of Jesus Christ. Friend, be a part of that. Let me help you to study the Word of God so that you can obey it and be a part of it. It's a trial, and we need to understand that, but we don't need to change the message because it's difficult. Noah preached a message that condemned. This is a big one. You're not supposed to condemn anybody today, just like I mentioned earlier with regard to the wickedness of the people. You're not supposed to condemn anybody. That passage we just read in Hebrews 11, verse 7, by which he condemned the world. You can hear it. Noah, if what you're saying is true, you're saying I'm going to be lost. What about my good old grandmother who doesn't get on the ark? Are you saying she's not going to heaven? What about my grandfather who didn't get on the ark? Are you saying that he's going to be lost? You see, they play those emotional games. Emotion does not change truth. And so we preach a similar message, the message of Jesus. For example, Mark 16, 16. he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Are you saying that my grandmother who was not baptized is going to be lost? You see? And people play that emotional game. Condemnation is something that a lot of people don't like. I don't like it. But if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And I stand condemned. It doesn't change whether I like it or not. And Noah, Hebrews 11:7, condemned the world by his actions, by his preaching, by getting on that boat when they did not. And Paul addressed Peter in Galatians 2:11-14. He stood condemned, and the reason is given there. Look in your Bible. It was because he did not walk according to the truth. That's what made him condemned. Not just simply Paul saying something. It wasn't somebody's opinion or their think so. But Peter stood condemned because he walked not according to the truth. It's the truth that shows that we are condemned. We're just simply preaching the truth, friends. And so we need to understand that the message of the gospel will condemn. And then last of all, Noah preached a salvation that man didn't understand or accept. You mean there's salvation in a boat? You mean I've got to get into the ark to be saved? I don't accept that. I don't understand that. I don't agree with that. Noah, I'm just as saved as you are, and I don't have to get on that boat. Water doesn't save. The boat doesn't save. You see, we hear that today. Water doesn't save. When Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Many denominations still say, well, you don't need to be baptized. I don't need to get on that ark. Some of them may have said, I don't understand God's plan of salvation. I don't understand why I have to get on a boat. Just like people today say, I don't understand why I have to be baptized. You know, God's plan of salvation was, first of all, his grace. God was gracious. Noah found favor with God. He was gracious. Plus, he gave a law, verse 14, build an ark. And then there was obedience. Noah obeyed everything, Genesis 6:22. And then there was water, a flood, and that typifies baptism, 1 Peter 3:20-21. And when you add grace plus law plus obedience plus water, you know what you get? You get salvation. And the same is true today. We preach a similar salvation. Many do not want the church. They may say they don't understand the church, or they don't want baptism, even though Peter said, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. And yet, it's still the plan of salvation. Friends, as we close, I want you to think about these trials. We preach. We may be successful or not. We may be popular or not, but it doesn't matter. We're going to preach the simple New Testament truth of the Word of God. And there's going to be some trials along the way, but it's still the truth of the Word of God. What great lessons we can learn from the preaching trials of Noah, and I'm glad that you've joined us this morning for that study. We hope that you'll tune in next week for another edition. Thank you for being with us, and have a good day.